Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with the Loose Read.
Tis the season for books.
Morena, morena, Johnny, it is indeed. And I've got with me Blue Ruin by Hari Kunzru, which, some people might be kind of familiar with. He did, it's like Blue Ruin is kind of part of like his Colors trilogy. It's the last one in the trilogy, and the novels aren't really like connected by plot, but each of them kind of touch on like a real moment in time. So like White Tears was about like sort of like the appropriation of jazz music and these kind of record label vultures that sort of captured on like jazz musicians and made tons of money off of them. And then it sort of looks like later in time, like in the 2000s, at record collectors who sort of continue that relationship.
Is it a good one? Sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. I reckon probably the best of the trilogy.
Okay.
I reckon if you were reading it, I'd probably read it like from newest to the oldest. So start with Blue Ruin, and then by the time you get to White Tears, you'll be like, wow.
Okay.
And then Red Pill, which is sort of like about misinformation, German academics who really go down like a conspiracy theory holes on the internet. And then Blue Ruin, his most recent one, is a pandemic novel.
Are we ready to read about COVID?
I wasn't. The first part where he sort of talks about like the, you know, uncomfortable feeling of like sort of feeling and smelling your own breath in your mask. Mm. I was like, oh, I don't want to remember that feeling again. It's mostly told through the eyes of Jay, who's like a former artist in his like maybe 40s or 50s. And he's like, he's no longer an artist. He's doing manual labor, sort of gig jobs during COVID. And while he's doing one of these jobs, like grocery deliveries, he stops by at his former girlfriend Alice's house and tries desperately to avoid locking eyes with her. So Alice now lives with her partner, Rob, and the three of them went to art school together. And Rob and Jay were sort of rivals. And you kind of look at, like, you know, while Jay's, like, sleeping in his car, you know, doing these, like, sort of very low-paying jobs, has very low, like, has, like, no financial security, has no sort of, like, security in his life at all, no partner, no home, no stability. And Alice and Rob kind of live the other side of that coin. Rob's become a very wealthy artist. Alice has family money, so he drops off these like groceries to like this beautiful house in London. And this kind of that moment in time sort of sparks like the turning of his life. So he's when he meets Alice, he's like really unwell. He's got what's probably long COVID, and Alice takes pity on him and offers up like their barn, just to give you an idea of like how rich they are. Who has a barn in London? she offers up their barn as like a place for him to sleep. So yeah, this kind of really interesting like sort of relationship between the three of them starts, and then it skips back in time to their time in art school, like, which is really sort of like the beginning of like the burgeoning of the YBA movement. So young British artists, this sort of like beginning in the 90s, this idea, like a time for, I guess, for the first time where like young artists were not starving artists anymore. It looks at the world of Charles Saatchi, these big sort of philanthropists that are supporting the lives of these like young artists in the 90s who are, I guess, coming into money for the first time, which is, I guess, like very rare before that time for artists to be making any money while they're alive. So it kind of looks at this rivalry between Rob and Jay, who both start as painters, and Jay becomes like very disillusioned with this world that he sees as like quite pretentious and meaningless. And he decides to do like, I guess, this performance art piece of he like travels to all these South Asian countries and kind of tries to like disappear from the world, disappear from people's lives and really understand what that life of like total isolation and alienation is. And then, of course, that stops becoming performance art when he's like a middle-aged man sick with COVID and doing gig economy. That like becomes his like living reality. And Rob is like very much the opposite. He's kind of like, I guess you could say he's like a Damien Hirst kind of figure. Like, you know, he's really supported by like the finance world. He's outsourcing like a lot of this work to sort of like younger apprentices. He starts really, he sort of starts a process of disillusionment. His art is no longer like, he feels like it's not reflective of him anymore and really kind of speaking more to moneyed interests than like his own creativity. So it kind of looks at all of these really interesting tensions in the art world. There's some really interesting characters in there, you know, lots of like snobby artists and collectors, and he kind of skewers like, you know, those Jeff Koons, like David Hockney types, like people who, you know, have become like almost pop culture icons more than at least what Jay sees as like true artists. And it looks at, yeah, the relationship between like the financial world and artists, artists creating, I guess, what's becoming like assets for rich people rather than really art and things kind of, yeah, it like, I think it asks the best parts of the book, like sort of ask, I think, really interesting questions of like where the art world is now. And I think rather than like saying it's any one person's fault, this kind of like commercialization of this part of, you know, the creative world, or I guess what you could now say the creative economy, you know, it looks at sort of how no facet of the world is untouched by this kind of growing commercialization starting in the 80s and really peaking, I think, in the 2000s. And Jay is, and it looks like very much at how Rob and Jay, how their lives change so drastically. It looks at the winners and the losers of that commercialization process. It looks at, like, yeah, what happens to artists who try to stay true to their work and kind of live in this world of, like, financial precarity. And, like, yeah, with Jay, I guess, like, very much a health precarity. He's like 50, his body aches, he's been doing like these manual labor jobs for a long time, and yeah, and I guess like Alice works as like an anchor between Rob and Jay, sort of bringing them back together even though she's having an affair with Jay, dun dun dun. Yeah, so it's like, it's a really interesting book. I mean, I think it felt to me like very different from the last two that I read of Hari Kunzru's, White Tear and Red Pill. But I think if you're looking, I would say if you're thinking of reading Blue Ruin, which has gotten like heaps of reviews and was like hugely anticipated, like I'd say months and months before it came out, it was like the big book to look out for at the beginning of the year. I think if the first few pages that are really kind of like about the bleakness and of COVID, I think power through that. And then I think the kind of like the kind of sexy relationship dynamic stuff and then the going back in time to the 90s stuff really start to pull the novel together and I think takes you to a different place. So yeah, like a really interesting novel, lots of great questions, very sort of zeitgeisty, which is true to Hari Kunzru. So yeah, very interesting read. I'm sure there's lots of intellectuals out there who'll get more out of it.
One for people with an interest in the creative economy.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. There's probably going to be lots that feel very familiar, including, yeah, like especially the way he talks about these kind of like vulture philanthropist. No hate to anyone out there, but Hari Kunzru's words, not mine.
The title of the book and the author once again.
That's Blue Ruin by Harry Kunzru. It's $38 and you can grab it at all great independent bookstores, including Time Out.
Thanks, Siri.
Thank you.
That was Loose Reads.